It's Thursday night, time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Rita Strau, Steve Frampton, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Allura, and welcome back to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I work with Psychic Access as a consultant on love, finances, and any other area of life using the native sacred path and animal medicine cards. I use these as a portal to see what spirit and your guides wish you to know to bring you into balance and empower you so that you can make favorable decisions in your life to take your power back. I'd like to welcome my fellow co-hosts. Hello, Rita. How are you?
Hello, Allura. I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Rita, would you tell us what your specialty on Psychic Access is?
Sure. Well, I'm really excited to be here tonight. Thank you. And I'm kind of new to Psychic Access, but I'm an angel communicator, so I channel angel energies and speak with your guardian angels to give you messages for your highest good.
Excellent. Hey, Maureen, how are you?
Well, I'm just great. Thank you very much, Allura.
You're welcome.
You sound lovely.
Thank you.
And here it goes what I do. I also work at on the site at psychicaccess.com, and I'm very happy to say that I do because I really appreciate everybody there, and as well as Doug. And I was born as I am, and I have the ability to see beyond the range of vision. I have 25 years experience as a tarologist, and I was self-taught in every way. And I also help with spiritual development, and I also are all the C words. I'm not going to go through them all because it would take forever.
Well, that's okay. Give us at least four of them. That way people know what the C words are.
Clear audio, clairaudient. I smell, I feel, I sense. So, if anybody doesn't know what the C words are, I'll, you know. And also, I physically pick up things. So, but tarot has been a very good tool for me. So that's what I do.
I love Excellent.
It. Yes.
Excellent. Steve, why don't you tell us what you do as well? Welcome, Steve. Steve, well, okay, we lost him for a moment, but he's going to be back, we know. He's so awesome. Steve, I'm not sure exactly what he does, but I know that he connects in directly, I believe, and he's awesome. He just he speaks with your guides, and he looks into, I know he can go into departed ones. He will go into predictions and things that will, information that will empower you as well. So, Steve is a very important and a gifted part of Psychic Access with us. Tonight, I'll be interviewing our special guest, Dr. Carmen Hara. Dr. Hara is an established numerologist, renowned metaphysical intuitive, and a clinical psychologist. Seen on The View, The Today Show, Good Morning America, the CBS Early Show, and affiliate stations across the country, Dr. Hara's extensive training and psychic abilities enable her to predict world events as well as gives her the skills to advise clients on everything from health, jobs, and relationship issues. She's the author of 6 best-selling books, including Everyday Karma and the 11 Eternal Principles. Check them out. They are on Amazon.com as well. For more information on Dr. Hara, please visit her website at www.carmenhara.com. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show for a free on-air reading by 4 gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our show on Atlantis 2012 with Dr. Ariel last week, You will find a recorded archive as well as archives for all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. I do want to say that we would normally go into emails, and I believe we had an email come in asking about you have a name that you're born with regard to numerology and your path. What happens if you get married or you change your name and so forth? Changing your name will change the energy that you attract into your life. And you'll find, if you look at actors and actresses or anybody in any area of life, whether it's politics or anything else, they may change their name. And when they do, they will often suddenly find success or they find things moving away from them. So in answer to your question, yes, changing your name does make a difference in terms of the energy that you attract and that comes into your life. Okay? So what we're going to do, we're going to bring in Dr. Hara in just a moment. And Steve, are you back in?
I am. Thank you very much, Laura. It's great to be here. I'm very excited about the show this evening.
Oh, so are we. Hey, listen, Steve, can you give our listeners a little bit about what you do
Absolutely.
On Psychic Access?
Absolutely. Well, I'm a consultant on psychicaccess.com, and really enjoy speaking with lots of wonderful clients there. I was born a psychic medium, so I work directly with Spirit World, with my guides, and connecting with clients' guides as well to provide evidence of the afterlife and connecting with members of the family and friends in spirit for clients, but also asking spirit to provide guidance into clients' lives and to give them insight. I'm particularly interested in numerology, so I'm very excited that we're discussing numerology this evening and that we have Carmen with us, because I know that she has just so much knowledge about numerology and the meaning of numbers.
It is. And you know, the thing about Carmen that I found to be so incredible is that I know I studied numerology a number of years ago, so I'm fairly familiar with it and what it does. But with Carmen, what I found was she brings you almost into a multidimensional aspect of it, a step up, like a new paradigm with it. And I know that sounds very vague, but for those who are familiar with numerology, she will give you a whole new perspective on a higher aspect of numerology. And for those who aren't, you will be fascinated by it. So I really enjoyed talking with her, and I'm also looking very forward to having her on. What I'd like to do is cover a couple of things before we bring Dr. Hara in. And I don't know, Rita, what I'd like to do is start with you. I believe there are two systems of numerology. Can you cover those?
Sure, absolutely. Now, I'm not an expert on numerology myself, but I did do some research for the show, and there are two systems. One of them is called the Western Pythagorean system, and the other is the Chaldean system. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
That's correct, yeah.
Thank you. The primary difference between the two is the assignment of different numbers to some of the letters in the alphabet. And the reason for the different assignment of numbers to some of the letters in the Chaldean system is related to the sound vibrations associated with the letters.
Yeah, so that means you can experiment with both and see which, you know, kind of fits with, you don't really hear about the Chaldean system much, but you can see which fits your, what you know about yourself.
Right.
So, you know, it's really, really interesting. Maureen, can you tell us a bit about the long count system of measuring time and based on the number 20?
Yes. Well, yes, I can't hold. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I can't. I'm sorry. You came at me and I was like, whoa.
Sorry about that.
No, because I thought it said, okay. I'm sorry about that too, because I was reading something else and going to something else. Yes, the number 20, it's very interesting. Okay. The number 20 is in the, there were 20 days in the long count with the 20 days in the calendar. You know, we have 365 days. They had 360 days. And how that worked was the, job. Yeah, absolutely not. I was on the other thing because I was having people. I'm going to be right honest. It's like, okay, so let me just go on. I mean, if you could ask me about the other one, but I can get it together, but I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? Let's go ahead with the other.
Okay, great.
Let's talk about the other. Talk to us about your point of view on, are you talking about the 11/11 event?
Yes.
And 2012. 2012 is our subject. Let's go for it.
Okay. It's really interesting because this also, I can identify, it's very personal for me. So people have heard the theory that, you know, about 2012, and it is supposed to end on August 13th, actually, at 11:11 a.m. And this is a date that has always been significant to astrologers and numerologists and so on. And it is the end of this 13th cycle that make up what is known as a Mayan long count calendar. Okay, so the thing of it is with 11:11, it also is in the Bible, 11:11 has a lot to do with world apocalypse now, rest assured, I'm not talking about this being the case, but it does coincide with the Mayan calendar being the long calendar, but also it's exactly, okay, so at the time that they're talking about with the Milky Way and, you know, the things, everything's going on in the sky at the time, it's supposed to be exactly at 11:11, General Mountain Time on August 13th. Also, 11:11:11 is my address.
Oh wow, that's really interesting.
Yes, it is. And not only that, for the past year and a half, or maybe two, every time I look up at my clock, any time, it's always 11:11. You know how you see things? 11:11. So 11:11 has been one number that keeps, it's almost like it's a higher consciousness number, but there's so many synchronicities with it. It's almost like, in a way, it's also, the number 11 is both singular and it duplicates a form. So it's a great importance for 2012. It's like 9/11, you know, how we had 9/11.
Right.
And the Twin Towers being one and one, it's like there's 11:11. It's like everything is very interesting. But it's more interesting that 11:11 happens to be my address. I moved out 11/11.
Yeah. And that's meaningful.
It's very meaningful. Also, it is also said the Mayans were, you know, like I'm saying, I'm not saying this is, you know, exactly the truth of the matter, factual, but it is a very interesting subject, and there's a lot more information in this. You can dig in deeper to it, but also it said that the Earth was actually born, or like brought about, the Mayans would say August 13th, 11:11. At 11:11, and so, but the September 11th is very interesting to me because of the Twin Towers and being twins,
yes,
one and one, and everything's fall. It's so interesting how everything. If you guys notice, I don't know if don't you ever look at numbers like
I do.
It's been odd. My dad even said, you know, I said every time I look at it, it's 11:11. So when we've been driving, we look up. He goes, I go, see, it's right there. He goes, oh my gosh, it is.
Right.
So also. If you can multiply, there's a lot of fun stuff you can do. If you multiply 11:11:11 by 11:11:11, it gives us 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1. And it goes into the period. There's so much cool stuff on this. So
that's fascinating.
Isn't that
it is.
Amazing. You know, yeah.
You know what? I have lived in a sixth house for the past at least 16, 17 years, and that was never planned. I just, for whatever reason, whenever I rent or whatever, it just winds up adding up to a six. So
wow.
Numbers do definitely happen in our lives, and they're not by accident, just like anything else. There's no coincidence, right?
It's right. True. Many years ago, I was told that I would live in a house that's 1,000. And when I moved to the States from the UK, I bought a home, but I was so busy, I didn't look at the address. Mm-hmm. And when the day I was closing on the house, I went to sign the papers, and I realized that the house number is 1,000. And then my car registration plate came, and that's 001.
Oh, my goodness. That's so neat. See, that's how it works. At this point, thank you so much. I love my co-hosts; they are so awesome.
Thanks.
And at this, I do. I love you guys. So, what we're going to do, we're going to. Thanks, Rita. What I'm going to do is, we would love to bring Dr. Hara in, and we have a limited time with her, so we're going to do that. Welcome to the Psychic View, Dr. Hara. It's great to have you with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, my dear. I really appreciate.
So do we. If you would you give us a bit about your background, you know, your personal journey and what brought you to become a metaphysical counselor and numerologist?
Interesting enough, I was born in the northern part of Transylvania, and I was always fascinated with seeing beyond chronology, seeing beyond the physical time. I do believe that that beyond calendars, which are man-made law, there are other dimensions, and there is beyond the limited time we are living in, there is a continuous time. As a result of this, I don't really think that we are dying. We are forms of energy, and the world we are living in is a world very much man-made. I mean, calendars are man-made. The whole idea of time is man-made. I mean, thousands of years ago, we associated planets with numbers, and numbers are forms of energy, and this is the language of the universe, because you are mentioning numerology as the language of the universe, going back to the ancient Kabbalah, and then 2,500 years ago, Pythagoras created the system of numbers, and the Greeks used to talk about 888 being the symbol of the higher mind, and 666 being the symbol of the mortal mind, and every single number has a power within. And I myself only think numbers from 1 to 9, and then I consider 11 as a master number. And it's interesting, we live in the era of 11. After November 2000, the planets align in the 11th house, six of them. Right after that, September 11 happened in the 11th state with an airplane that was number 11, the first one that hit the tower. If you added all the numbers of the people to die, it equals to 11. We have a president in the White House whose numerology is 11. His wife is an 11, Michelle Obama. Biden is an 11. Bill Clinton is an 11. Martin Luther King is an 11. Jesus Christ is an 11. Buddha is an 11. So people don't necessarily realize that all these leaders of the world, spiritual leaders, politicians in position of power, in this time in our evolution, have something to do with this element of 11. Now, if you take December 21st, 2012, guess what it equals? An 11. But 2012 is also raising the level of consciousness from the fourth dimension into the fifth dimension. So what's happening, a time in our evolution is coming to an end. So we not going to see the world with the same perception for the last 4,000, 7,000 years. So raising the level of the frequency will make us see much more beyond this level of consciousness. So I think what's fascinating is that we will start to understand how significant the world beyond physics is, how there is communication with the world beyond this level of consciousness, which is a very low level of consciousness, by the way. So life on Earth will actually change after December 21st, 2012. So the end of a calendar is the end of a man-made law and the end of an era in our evolution, which is called the era of darkness, the era of the Kali Yuga in Hinduism, and the beginning of the golden yuga of an era of enlightenment. And 11 symbolizes enlightenment. So people who want to bring light and energy and a better life on Earth are coded with this number 11. So there's a lot of 11 between us. They choose to incarnate. They don't actually have to. The reason I look at numerology differently because I do associate the concept of numbers, time, with karma, because we back on the physical dimension when there's karmic issues unresolved. What numbers do, not only show us our skills, our abilities, who we are, the level of our perception, also they do show our karmic relationship with the people in our life. So if you know how to do the compatibility between two people from a numerological point of view, you know whether two people have a karmic connection or they don't. They are evil or they not. They are willing to make changes in their lives or they are not. They are evolved enough to understand spirituality, metaphysics, or they not. So it's so fascinating how this entire idea of the language in the universe will translate into almost like a psychological effect on people's minds. mind. I mean, I use numerology and astrology, which work together in a perfect way, in order to I use it as a tool in my practice. So I believe that any psychologist should integrate the ancient teaching in order to make people understand who are they exactly, what's their life purpose. Because people come to me with the same issue. Why don't I get along with my husband? What's my problem? Why am I stuck? Why do I attract the same abusive man in my life? So questions like this I hear for 20-something years. But the answer is much, much more rooted in the divine code of the person. So we, other than the genetic code, we also have the divine code. So I do recommend numerology to everybody, because you were talking at the beginning, you were saying, well, change your name will actually change. Well, guess what? My name was not Hara. The moment I changed my name to Hara, I became Carmen Hara. The next day, I published my first book. And wow. 2 days later, I was on TV talking about spirituality, because a number has a frequency, has a meaning, has a certain vibration behind. You are talking about number 6. Well, guess what? I live on 915 Tyler Street. 915 equals a 6. 6 is the vibration of love and family. So every number, from the number of your home to the number within your name, from your birth code, from your life path, everything that is about us that has to do with understanding a certain frequency is extremely fascinating, and is a tool to understand who you really are, why you're here for, what can you actually do in order to fulfill your dharma. And I'm really glad that we can talk about this tonight, because this is more powerful than we think it is, and the world is going through all these changes, so we should actually acknowledge this changing and work together in order to transform life on Earth into a better life. Because as you can see, the whole system that exists today is crumbling. We live in a system that is completely broken, and this cannot be fixed by a president. This cannot be fixed by anybody other than by all of us together in right. accepting that the system needs to be changed.
Well, I'd like to ask you about that, actually. Before mm-hmm. I do, though, because we're going to get into some specifics about that, well, something you mentioned was we're born with a genetic code and a divine code. Would you differentiate between the two for our listeners so that they understand
Absolutely.
The difference?
Well, the
and then we're
going to
get into
like,
the specifics
you know,
of the changes
type,
in each system.
You know? It's fascinating that your blood type says everything about you, you know, says if you're an old soul. You know, there are types of blood like A that talks about people that come from ancient time. The type 0 comes from a different part of the world. The type B, everything about us is in the genes, in the blood. Blood has a divine frequency within ourselves, so there's no such things actually at the three types of blood, but there's a different and a specific frequency that all of us individually have. So in other words, my frequency is always going to be different from anybody else, even if I have the same blood type like my neighbor. So that's my the genes are carried within the physical dimension, within the matter, but also there is this vibrational energy that has a lot to do with your divinity within you. So if you take your date when you're born, the year, the month, and the day, you know, it equals a specific number. That's your divine code, the code of divinity. I'm a number 9, so this is my last life in a cycle of 9 lives. So and that says a lot about my level of evolution, my level of perception. So that's the divine code I'm in. Some other people are number 11. Some other people are number 1. And that says everything about the divinity within themselves. So it also talks, as I said, about the karmic issue that you have. People that are number 9, they carry a lot of karma from past life. And they have a certain perception about this world, and they usually are not so much money-oriented. They reach a stage in which they understand that when you die, you don't take anything with you other than your own karma. So,
right.
So I think that these are the two components. So your birth code is your divine code, and your
okay.
genes that are carried in the blood, you know, that come from your ancestors, they also have a karmic component, because you know a lot of the things that have to do with our diseases are also karmic. So if you get cancer, you have a disease. Guess what? There's no accident into that. And that happens because there's a lot of heavy karma there. You know, that in the end, you know, translates into a unbalance of the physical body and leads to a disease in a way or another. So when a part of your body will dissociate with the rest, that is called cancer. So, but that's a karmic disease. And I see a world that is very angry, and no doubt 12 million people die every year from cancer. So that's a very sad statistics, but that reflects the karmic issues that Mother Earth has at this point unresolved for thousands of years. And if humanity doesn't acknowledge the heavy karma that we're carrying for so many thousands of years, and if we're not doing anything about it, then no doubt all these prophecies are going to start to overwhelm us, and they might even turn into our reality, you know, and the world might completely fall apart. But we don't want that, you know. I mean, we're raising the consciousness that prophecies can be changed, that things that have been said for thousands of years, including the Mayan calendar, might come to a different understanding. So is this world coming to an end? Or absolutely not. If we collectively decide to change life on Earth, erase the heavy karma for such a long time, shift the perception, come together into a loving one world, you know, into one unity, into one concept of God, into finally accepting each other and loving each other. So there's a lot that humanity can do, create that togetherness, then oneness, then holiness that we all are looking for.
Absolutely. With that in mind, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go through each system separately with regard to the information you have to share with us on 2012. And the first department I'd like to talk about is the financial, banking, and monetary systems. Where do you see that's going in terms of, as you're saying, we're going from where we are now to really coming to see ourselves globally as a human family and raise our consciousness? And that's what and I'd like you to describe the chaos that's happening, how that needs to break down in order to build new structures into place, which is what's happening. But I would like to talk specifically about our financial and monetary systems. Where do you see that going with regard to 2012? What's happening
with
that?
Well, I want our listeners to know that my first book was written like 12 years ago. And at the end of my first book called Everyday Karma, I made a lot of predictions. And, you know, go back 10, 12 years ago, nobody could have imagined what is happening today. So, but in my book, I clearly said that this system, the monetary system, the way we know it, is coming to an end. And what does it mean? It means that the banking system it might collapse. And the way it's going to happen is actually because of the satellites around the Earth in 2012 might be affected. That's going to create the whole collapse for a short period of time of the computer system. Everything is computerized. That's actually in the end a mistake. Because we might lose all the information. If this goes for, like, say, 3 months, nobody's going to know where is my bank account, how much do I own to a bank. I mean, I'm advising everybody, stay in your home. Don't be concerned about the banking system because the banks are not going to come after you. And look, today, banks decided not to foreclose on properties anymore. Because there's no reason, but the banking system, the way we know it, is not gonna survive. It's not gonna survive in the next 2 years. And what's gonna happen, a new system will come in place. Now, I don't think that the monetary system, the way it was, you know, was a fair system. It created a lot of injustice in the world, there's a lot of poverty in the world. And if this world has to come together, we have to realize that that is unfair, that the power of the world to be in the hands of the so-called secret society on a group of people, you know, that rule this world. Nobody rules this world. So we have to come together, change it to a more fair system, more like a global system. Like it's, I don't really see the world having dollars or euros or, you know, all kinds of forms of payment. I predicted 20 years ago that Europe will come together into one monetary system. Well, guess what? Everywhere in Europe at this point, you can buy with euros. My next prediction is, well, forget about euros and dollars in the next 2-3 years. And everybody will say, so fast? Yes, so fast. Who could have imagined how fast things are going to start to to change in the last 3, 5, 10 years. It's pretty remarkable what happened to us. So I absolutely see like a bank, not like the banking system in itself, like a new monetary system, completely new. Now think of the fact that 700 years ago we didn't know about paper money. Think of the fact that 100 years ago we had no idea of banks, we had no idea about the monetary system that exists today. We just have to accept that there's a new system, more fair for this world, in which it, more like more global, you know. This will create fairness. This will bring more peace between us, because if you think that the money is the root of all evil, you know, then you understand, right, in order to stop this constant conflict generated by poverty and having too much money. So in other words, there's equilibrium and balance in the system. So I definitely believe that this might have a lot to do with the fact that the satellites in 2012 will be affected, and that any scientist you will ask about it will tell you the same thing, that there's no way this is not going to happen. And this has a lot to do with the alignment of the planets to the belt of the equator, with the fact that the sun, after 26,000 years, increased the intensity, and we have all this solar flare coming in 2012 in a way we've never experienced them before, and this will affect this computer era. Now, we didn't have computers 50, 100 years ago. So it's something that, again, is man-made. It was very convenient for us, but I don't know if this is the era of the future. I mean, if I look at my grandmother, who lived 110 years, and her mother, wow, 112, and they live in the country, and they had no idea of any processed food. They used to live from the eat from the ground. They had no idea of medication. They were not addicted to anything, you know. Their lifestyle, they had no television. They had no computer. They live. So in other words, returning to the nature is the future of the world. Yes. Returning to health is the future of the world. We can't continue like this. We're sicker than ever. We're addicted than ever. We live in the world of Prozac. Our celebrities die left and right because of addiction to drugs and all kinds of crazy medication, you know.
Yes,
it almost feels,
yes,
like the pharmaceutical has no intention for us to get any better. It's all about being robbed left and right. People are angry. People are afraid. People don't know what to do with their lives, with their homes, with their bank accounts. But guess what? Let's forget about all of this and let's go back to the origin, the way we survived through centuries, and acknowledge that we are designed to live 1,000 years. We are the molecules, the human body can live 1,000 years. There hasn't been no mistake in the Bible with Abraham having a child closer to 900. No matter how much we try to believe that that was a mistake, there was no mistake. We will live long lives. That's the good part. Everything will change in that direction. It will have to change because 11 is enlightenment. The sun brings us more life on earth, more energy, is lighter, is brighter. Our auric field is brighter. Our perception is going to be higher. Our DNA is changing in the years to come in a phenomenal way. You know, it's just magic what's happening to us. I just want the world to acknowledge that the transformation has begun. We are in the process of changing the life around. And before we get into the new system, we create a state of chaos. Now, chaos is necessary because it's the only way to progress. If the world will comprehend the chaos we're living in means creating a new order in the universe, that we won't panic as much, you know, and we won't expect that a president or the government can do something about it. They cannot, you know. We will have new forms of leadership. I don't think Obama will be president after 2012. I'm more than sure. I said this on The View 2 years and a half ago. And I think that Barbara Walters falls from the chair when she heard me saying something like this. But I'm absolutely convinced that this cannot happen. I mean, if we'll understand the reality of the times we are living in, you know, I think we should celebrate it, and we should say, well, finally, you know what I mean, we're entering the golden yuga. We're done with the darkness. We're done for thousands of years of killing each other and hating each other in the name of God and in the name of jihad You know, it's just such an unfair world, the world that we've created. But this is coming to an end. And ending everything is painful. It means suffering. You know, we don't know how to let go. We're afraid of transformation. We're afraid of change. We want things to be the same. But guess what? They're not going to be the same. The system is broken. The system is dead already. There's nothing to be done other than to create a new one. And humanity will, and that's what 2012 is all about. The beginning of a new understanding. And then slowly till 2016, 2018, we're going to see things getting better and better. Finally, you know, we'll emerge into, and then by 2033, the transition to the Enlightenment era will finally happen. After that, humanity will start living 200 years, 300 years, 900 years. So almost what I said now seems hard to comprehend, but I'm 100% convinced that this is all going to happen to us. And I'm excited about all these changes.
Me too. It sounds like we have a lot to look forward to, not only in our systems and in the world we live in, if we choose to come together as a human family, to respect Mother Earth, to change our paradigm in terms of our health, but also our relationship with ourselves. And that's the next thing I wanted to talk to you about. What about relationships coming up with the 2012 change, relationships with others and relationships with ourselves? As you know, a lot of people have difficulty. As you said, people consult you and say, I can't get along with my husband. I don't know what's going on. So what can you tell us about that as far as 2012 is concerned?
Well, I'm very positive that people will start to come together and create a unity, because if you look at the world today, you know, everybody desperate goes on match.com, let me find a soulmate, and they don't even understand what a soulmate is all about because they don't understand themselves. So I think before you actually start to establish a good relationship with someone else, you have to establish your own relationship with you. I think the world we are living in is that we have issues with ourselves. And the moment you make peace with you, you know who you are, you know you're okay with your own self, you so-called marry your own self, you're happy with you, then you can finally bring a person into your life that is actually a reflection of all the things you need to work on. I really believe that we're incomplete, so we have half of the sphere, so we need to bring the other half. But again, in the energy field, because we are forms of energy, you have to bring an energy in your life that matches yours. So for all the people listening, if you say, well, where can I find my other half? Well, you definitely have to make sure that that's definitely a person that will match perfectly the wheel of life. Think of the sphere. And if a sphere doesn't, you know, the two parts of the sphere, they don't complete that, they cannot move the wheel of life. So you cannot move. The energy that doesn't move dies. So a relationship that does not kind of things of completing the sphere, that relationship will die. So people will start finally, that's why this need of understanding the ancient teaching is higher than ever in the last probably 1,000 and more than probably 1,000 years. So we want to know much more about who is good for me, where is a compatible relationship. So because the moment you understand, you know what you attract, and you start to bring things good into your life. Now, more than ever, we understand that if we change our thoughts, we change our life. More than ever, we understand all the laws of the universe, like the law of attraction. What's within you, you will attract. So when somebody comes to me as a therapist and says, well, Dr. Hara, I'm always attracting the same abusive man. Then I said, well, go inward and find out. Where is your own issue? Probably in a childhood, probably with your father, probably your own situation that you've never been able to make peace with, or probably something karmic that you've never resolved that will never allow you to progress in to the next level, in which you will attract the good guy into your life that is not abusive. That is going to be, you know, make your life a paradise, and, you know, and finally achieve that beautiful family. So in other words, we start to have a different perception about relationship in itself, and as I said, relationship with ourselves. And I think, I'm positive about this. I think that the world has to change from inside out. And I do believe in the law of attraction, except that it doesn't work on its own. So I always said that for all those people who follow the secret, for all those people who wake up to the ancient teaching of Abraham that what's within you, you will attract, I'm telling them, wait a minute. Remember the law of karma. Remember all the other laws. Remember the law of unity. Remember the law of duality. Remember everything else that complements the law of attraction. And then you finally are in touch with the divine that's within yourself. And then your own life is really good. Then you will always bring good people into your life. Then you will survive even in a stage of chaos. And I think humanity needs to understand that we're in this stage, but we will get out of it and have that positive perspective. And then I said, work together. It's all about unity and oneness and holiness. That's actually the title of my new book, you know, that will help the world come together in the years to come. And this transition, as I said, is from now on to 2033. But I, to answer your question one more, I do believe in better relationship, and my next book does talk a lot about relationship with you and others, like being key to the unity I'm talking about.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Hara. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Welcome back to The Psychic View, and we are talking with Dr. Hara. And Dr. Hara, we'd like to continue on with what you were talking about. With regard to the information about the changes that are up and coming, can you talk to us about the educational systems and business systems as far as the changes that will be coming?
Well, as I said, the changes are happening at absolutely every single level. So, I think that, as I said, the changes is that are not only in the level of the monetary system, but also in the health system, in the education forms of leadership, everything, the whole system, the whole infrastructure is changing in a different direction. And but my concern is for the people to actually understand that they can have their contribution. So everybody actually, I think, should have their share this positive vision, you know.
Okay, how can they do that? How can they do that? How can they contribute? What can you tell them that helps them to know how they can apply themselves in such a way that they can contribute to the golden era?
Because we have to have this collected vision of the future.
Okay.
In one of the law of the universe is the law of the infinite possibilities, or the law of totality, you know, the one that I talk in one of my books. And I'm saying this because I think that there is a collective mind. So your mind, my mind, your producer's mind. We have that same intention in the universe. So we are connected to each other. Even if we think we isolated being, that's not right. You know, we are together. We are in the same boat. So I think we, all of us, can change the turn. We can turn the boat before it hits the iceberg. So we actually, humanity in itself, has to understand that if we all of us put the collective vision in motion, and we acknowledge that we live in this infinite possibility, so we can actually change on the ancient prophecies into a positive prophecy. And we shouldn't be afraid anymore about an atomic bomb. We shouldn't be afraid about the shift of the pole. It's not happening, by the way. It's not happening. There's no such thing like shift of the pole in 2012, and probably not shift of the pole from another 100-something years, if it's going to happen. And by that time, collectively, the mind of the planet, all of us together, can be prepared to leave Mother Earth before this happening, move on the planet Mars, and come back after the pole being shifted and start again, like we did through thousands and thousands and thousands of years of evolution. That explains the pyramid and all these mysteries that we have no understanding. Because I really believe that there are lives on other planets, and I think that we will be able in the years to come to have our own airplanes and have and probably travel in the galaxy exactly like we couldn't imagine 200 years ago that we can actually fly in the air. So, but as I said, we all have a common vision, and it has to be a good one. So we can share that common vision through books, through media, through radio shows. So this is the way you spread the word. This is the way you get the people interested. This is the way you make them become aware that you shouldn't be afraid. We should be excited about the changes and come together and celebrate this moment. So I think I answer your question about the shared positive vision, because as I said, there's this great social upheaval, you know, when yes. people start to think and perceive things differently. So, but the people who want to stay at the low level of consciousness, there are some who are very reluctant, and they resist the idea of change. But if you think even, I make a parenthesis, if you think of the world, how excited the world was when Obama was running, is the idea of change. His entire, true. You know, yes. Slogan was change, change, change. What we want subconsciously, what the global mind, what the collective mind on the planet wants that a major change. And it comes like a great force, you know. So there is a higher consciousness that will prevail everything. So I think the human across the globe will go beyond this low-level pattern of thinking and behavior that stays with us for hundreds and thousands of years, when people were greedy and manipulated and, how should I say, they all care about their wealth and didn't care about others, people's suffering. So we'll pass that. So and what we'll do that will increase this ability to see how significant it is to interconnect, to connect to each other, you know. And I think we'll really create the real internet, which is not the one you know in a computer, but the real one, you know, the mind level.
Yes.
The mind has a power, my dear, amazing power. I think we can do, you know, we can move, you know, New York to California if we want. The mind can move the mountains. The mind can see everything. The mind can heal the body. The body has an amazing intelligence. The mind can survive. We can see beyond the chronology. We can look into the next dimension. We actually can communicate telepathically. We can communicate, and we will be able to communicate with those who are no more in the body. So then we acknowledge that Einstein used to say there is a perpetuum time. And I think he was amazing in when he always said that, you know, when he discovered gravity, that he said, I used to sleep on the right side of the brain because the left side of the brain is only the cognitive, the physical, but the right side of the brain is everything that ever happened, everything that will ever happen about me, you, and all of us together. So subconsciousness, the 90% of the brain is not used. So I think everybody listening, don't sleep on the right side of the brain. You might come up with something total about your life. You might envision the world tomorrow in different colors. You might be able to heal your anger. You might be able to make peace with the people you've been in a war for many years, you know. So when we access the subconscious mind, you know, and we acknowledge that we have that tremendous power of telepathy, of healing, of crossing the barriers of time, of breaking chronology, of going beyond linear time, then, you know what I mean, we become such a powerful, unstoppable force there's nothing can stop us from creating, you know, the most amazing life on Earth, on the Milky Way and all in Andromeda and other galaxies, and go with our mind wherever, you know, it's infinite. It's the infinite possibility that exists within ourselves. That is the most amazing power that we've been equipped with.
It is. I thank you for that. I do want to ask you, we have five more minutes, and I would love it if you would give us a rundown on the higher meanings of the numbers 1 through 9 and 11 through 33,
mm-hmm.
because I find your perspective is just absolutely wonderful and very different from anything I've read about. So would you give us a rundown on the general
sure.
meanings of the numbers?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So, the way numerology was created, as I said, 2,500 years ago, by one of the amazing philosophers of all time, who actually not only created numerology, he created the whole idea of the transmigration of the soul, Pythagoras. He considered that in the center of the galaxy is number one, which is the sun. So, if your divine code is a number one, you're a very powerful person. You have a long life because your number is associated with the sun. But you're very independent, and that might go a little bit against you. So number one is associated with the sun energy. It's very powerful. Yeah, people who are very strong. I'm giving you an example. Larry King. Look at him. He's a number one. He's for so many years in television, doesn't want to give up. You know what I mean? He has an amazing force and an amazing mind. So people who are number one are at the beginning of a life cycle. So they, in many ways, in terms of spirituality and metaphysics, they are seekers. They need to learn spirituality more, but they are very strong and independent, sometimes too independent. Look at Larry King, how many divorces. So that's the number one characteristic. Number two, what's the reflection of the sun is the moon. What's closer to the sun is the moon. That's number two is the mother. Number two is the duality. Number two is somebody who wants to always make peace. Think of the mother. The mother, and there's which era we are living, one, the 2000. The moment we move into the two, we saw Hillary Clinton running for presidency. The moment we move in the two, humanity comes to healing and putting the two and two together. The woman is the mother force, the one who doesn't want to send the child to war, is the one who wants to make peace. So number two is associated with a lot of emotion, with healing, with peace, with motherhood, okay? And also with duality. So people who are number two sometimes don't know what to choose, you know? They can go both ways. So number three, think of the pyramid, the trinity, the triangle. The fact that the Trinity is the most powerful force that we are talking about, that's why I think the beginning with the Jesus, the story of Jesus was the Trinity, that we need the third element to create the stability. So two lines will never create that, but the third one, also three is associated with the planet Jupiter, which is the planet of creativity. So people who are number three is Hillary Clinton, are people who are very creative. And they have that kind of desire to speak and they're good people. I met Hillary Clinton many, many times in my life, and I want to tell you, she's wonderful. If you meet her in person, she cares. She has a heart of gold that people cannot see through television. Number four. Now think of the four level of creation, where humanity is at this stage of evolution, is in the four dimension. After 2012, we will move to the fifth dimension because of the changes in our DNA. So the four level of creation, look at the fact that a home is created. Look in your house. You have four corners. So four is associated with money. People who are number four have more money than anybody. Oprah is a number four. Bill Gates, Donald Trump. All of these people are number four. I was making fun when John Kerry was running for presidency because he was a number four. So he was very attracted to money, but he was married to a woman who was a number nine who had no interest in money, but he brought her in his life because he was a number four and he had to add all this money. So now there's four. It relates to money, to planet Uranus, relates to power associated with the material world. Number five, planet Mercury. Number five is the house of transit of death. In Kabbalah, number five is associated with the fifth day of the week, where Jesus died on Friday. More people die on Friday, guys, than any other day of the... Statistics show that people die Fridays more than any other day of the week, because it's the fifth dimension, it's the mind. The mind is not visible. Our body is made of earth, water, fire, air, and then the mind, that is something that you cannot touch, like the air. So the etheric world is the world of the fifth dimension and is associated with me. People who are number five, think of Angelina Jolie. My God, she's so free. She doesn't want to attach not even to Brad Pitt, because Brad Pitt is a four, she's a five. He brings that financial into her life and that stability that she cannot have as a number five. But number five have issues with their father. And look at, because five is also the house of transit of the father figure, while two is the mother figure. So people who have the five in their code are always having an issue with their father that needs to be resolved. That is a karmic issue. Number six is associated with the planet Venus. And number six is harmony and love and family. So if you code it with a number six, if you have a six on your house, it means, okay, you finally reach the stability in your family. Number seven is the planet Neptune, and is the number of God. I mean, God needed 7 days to create the world. So seven is Neptune, and is the planet metaphysics. Guess what? Neptune was discovered in 1847. Before discovering Neptune, we had no idea about the subconscious mind. We had no idea about therapy. We had no idea psychology or psychiatry. The moment we discovered Neptune, Freud was born. And he wrote his book on dreams. So we acknowledge that we live at a different level, alpha, beta, theta level. So all of this came to our consciousness right after this planet entered our system. The number eight is associated with Saturn, which is the planet of karma. People who have number eight in their code are very long living, longevity. This planet helps people live longer life and survive their most difficult times. So eight is also associated with financial power, inheritance. And people who are number eight are usually people who carry many karmic experiences from prior lives. Also number eight, if you want to have money, do me a favor, write a number eight on a piece of paper, put it in your wallet, and you're not going to believe the kind of a financial energy you can attract into your life. Number nine, that's where when we come into a full circle. Nine is the end of a life cycle. You ending your lives in a cycle, and you don't want to come back in the low level of consciousness, but is also associated with the most destructive planet, the planet of regeneration, which is the planet Pluto. Number nine, which is me, and so many other people who are number nine are leaders of the world, presidents of the world that try to do good, to help, to Indira Gandhi, people who are sacrificed for others. Yeah, they're usually people who live not so much for themselves, that they are being on a mission. They have a lot to accomplish. And from here on, the circle is complete. So also, it's very significant for all of you listening, is look into your birth code and see what the missing planets are. What you're missing is your agreement to come back to being in the flesh and being in the physical dimension. So you're coming back because you never fulfilled those numbers. If you look at our birth code, we always missing numbers. We don't have the nine numbers. We have only three of them, four of them. We don't have the nine of them. It's impossible to have them, which makes us incomplete. By knowing your numbers, you know who you bring into your life, who's your mate, who's good for you, who should be your boss, who you should be associate yourself with, who you should do business with. And now we're going into master numbers. People who are master numbers are people who choose, it's their own choice. In Buddhism, they are called Bodhisattva. They choose to come back because they want to come back to help the world. We have numbers 11, so many on earth right now, more than ever before. These are all old souls coming back because they have something to do when the world is going through such a huge transformation. And I gave you so many examples of number nine, the people that you know. It's just absolutely fascinating how this is the era of 11. And the 11 means, as I said, enlightenment. It's a master number which says, okay, you pay your debts. You resolve your karma. You're still here because you want to sacrifice. You want to help. You finally want to do something good for the people around you. So number 22 and 33 are also master numbers. Think of the number 33. Jesus died at 33. It has a lot to do with doubling the initial and reinforcing the power of the number. So because 3 is such a positive number, 33 is reinforcing the power of the same number. So it is just that number is quadruple in force. So I think we should always pay attention to master numbers because they are very powerful, and people that are master numbers, they are, as I said, they are on a mission. So, and I said the world is right now about to experience in a short period of time the element 11, which is, if you add together 2012, December 21st, guess what? You get a number 11. Always remember that the leaders of the world have their divine code right now as a number 11. I think that's also fascinating. Also, for you who didn't know, Bush was a number 6, born on the day of a 6 in 46. So there are a lot of 6s there. Also, the Pope, who died, was 3 times 8. That's the power that the Greeks were talking about, the power of the mind. Well, no pope will ever come even close to that pope. So because of the code he was born with. And if you understand numerology, anybody would have known that that pope was supposed to be pope for many, many, many years, and boy, he did. And, you know, everything in the physical world is about chronology. And if you understand the power of chronology, you have the key to your own life, and you understand where the world is going, and you can master your destiny, and you can change things in a positive way. You can never be afraid because you know what to expect. You know where you're going. You access the divine within yourself, and you know your skills, your abilities, and you're never afraid about tomorrow. And I think that using all these numbers as the language of the universe is the wisdom for everybody and is a tool for the years to come.
With that, Dr. Hara, we appreciate so much that you've joined us tonight. Thank you so much. I have a great deal of respect for your knowledge, and I appreciate you sharing your insights on numerology in 2012 with us and how we can apply it to master our destiny. We thank you so much and have a great night. I look forward to speaking with you again soon, Dr. Hara. You can find
anytime.
Dr. Hara's information
on our guest.
I'm very
grateful that you gave me the opportunity. And for everyone listening, don't be afraid. 2012 is just reaching it's the number 5. We go into the 5th dimension, which is a higher dimension that we've been for thousands of years. So the world is changing for better. We're approaching the golden era, the era of the light, so humanity will wake up into a better world, and that's going to happen probably sooner than we think.
Oh, that's awesome. We have something to look forward to. You can find Dr. Hara's information on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. For more information or to make contact with Dr. Hara, please, please, please visit her website at www.carmenhara.com. Thank you, Doctor.
Having me, and for all of God. You listening, I love you.
We love you too.
Me more.
Bye
bye.
Bye bye. She is. She's awesome. What'd you think of her? Isn't she fantastic?
She's great info. Great.
Isn't awesome. She dynamic?
Totally. I'm in love. I love her.
Me too. First time I spoke to her, I thought, wow, what a dynamic woman. She is so in her power. And confident. I absolutely love her. So she's fantastic. I'm sorry. Were you going to say something, Rita?
No. It's just that I love the passion that she puts into what she's saying, because it's just, I think everybody does need to understand that this is a time of great new beginnings. It's not something to be afraid of. And like she said, it's a brand new world that we're all kind of responsible for. So our thoughts can drive this forward, and our actions. And I just loved her. I thought she was great. Thank you so much for bringing her on.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And what you just touched on is so important, because a lot of people kind of feel like they're caught in the tide of the times rather than understanding that they can choose to direct it, that we do have a choice and that we have a responsibility within that choice. That we do have the power collectively, each individual has the power to go within themselves to see what they can do to transform themselves, and then, of course, to connect with the rest of the human family. Just like Gerald O'Donnell said on our 2012 show, he said the same thing, and these are two different people, that in his own way, he said we need to look at humanity as our family, as an entire family, instead of just kind of being for ourselves. And we need to understand that we're very connected to the planet, and what happens to us happens to the planet. What happens to the planet happens to us. So we all have a responsibility, and we have a great future ahead if that's
Alora,
where we choose to be. Yes.
Alora, sorry to, I just wanted to say, you just really inspired me then, because you did the show about Kabbalah, which is fascinating, and I watched another documentary a few days ago about Kabbalah, and in this documentary they're explaining that there are, you know, many people believe that the earth is part of God. And that,
yes,
you know, if we abuse the planet, we abuse the earth, then we're in some ways abusing God, and the planet is absolutely sacred and has to be honored and treasured.
Yes, and we're made of the elements that the earth is made of, and if we abuse the planet, we're going to wind up having to pay the consequences, because we're actually abusing ourselves, because they connect Mother Nature in Kabbalah with God, just like the native people.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
this is our home, you know, it's the only home we have, and that's what I think is so powerful about this is, I think people are starting to recognize the wisdom and have reverence for the earth. Because it is the giver of all things that we have. Everything you see, touch, feel, eat, wear, it comes from the earth. So this is it. This is the only earth we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other really interesting thing there, Rita, is, you know, you refer to planet as home. And I know that we're all very concerned about the condition of the planet. I read in the newspapers today that there's a whole mass of plastic that's stuck in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. It's just dreadful. And you use the word home. We wouldn't treat our homes, our houses, our apartments, the way we treat the planet. And we really, as Carmen said, as we move into the up to the fifth dimension, we've got to raise our awareness to the fact that the planet is our home, just as you said, and we have to treat it more respectfully.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, it all comes to being responsible, and even things like my pet peeve is waste. You know, I can't stand to see things get wasted or to see excessive use of electricity, things like that, that we just, you know, you take for granted. You walk out, you leave things plugged in and on, and it's drawing from the grid. You know, if everybody could just awaken to that, what they can do in their own little world to help us out.
Yeah,
Sorry, Laura, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just excited.
No, that's all right. Good point.
I was going to say that, you know, that's a really important point as well, that we have to be really careful that we don't waste anything, so wasting time, wasting energy, resources. And it just reminded me of something that Carmen said about numerology. So I'm absolutely fascinated by numerology, because I think it can bring so much insight into who we are, our life paths, and the future, and what's going on in the world. And, you know, Carmen said that when you find the right relationship, you find that they're some of the numbers missing in your unique code are present in your partner. And I've certainly found that. And I used to be sort of quite flamboyant, and I'm sort of high energy and always buzzing around doing different things. And I would sometimes forget to switch the light off or, you know, conserve energy. And my partner, who balances me very well, has always said to me, "Oh, turn that light off. Recycle that little screen." He'll recycle this tiniest piece of paper, and I used to laugh. Honestly, you know the post-it notes. You could have 1/10 of a post-it note, and you'd write something on it. And he would recycle that piece. He will recycle that piece of paper. He will carry it and recycle it. And I used to laugh at first, and I realized how wrong I was, and how much I respect people who have that level of awareness about our consumption of resources and the planet.
Exactly.
Yes. I'm going to expose myself here and admit that it's because of that same thing that I don't flush my toilet every time I'm in, you know, going to the bathroom, because I try and conserve water. There was a time way back in California we had a shortage of water.
Right.
And they actually required that. They would ask you, do not flush a toilet unless you absolutely need to. You know, sometimes you do, but you don't have to all the time. And I now am in the habit that kind of put, I was about 16, 17 at the time, to put in my consciousness the idea of conservation.
Right.
And so since then, this is the way I am.
You know what? We just last year, we put solar panels on our roof. And nothing gives you as great a feeling as looking at that display and seeing how many pounds of carbon you save. You see how much energy is generated, and you know, you're selling it back to the utility. It's just everybody's got to get involved and do whatever they can. And then you won't see those mountains of floating plastic debris in the middle of the ocean. You know, we really need to think about, what are we doing? What are we creating? We're creating too much packaging and waste, and there's no place to put it, you know? So, you know, get a refillable water bottle. Don't buy the cases of plastic bottles. It's too much.
See, that's excellent. So just think of just us and what we've just spoken about and what we do to contribute on a massive level if everybody did that.
Right.
Around the world.
It's possible. And, like, you know what I loved about your guest tonight, our guest tonight, is that she talked about having this vision and having and feeling tired of killing each other, sick and tired of all this, you know, people starving. There's no reason for it. There's more than enough abundance on the planet for everyone. And it needs to be a priority. We need to put priority on the human, you know, the quality of life for all human beings and the planet. And then we'll see the shift. We really will. When people get away from mine and yours and comparing and status, you know, those things have to shift. And I think that's going to happen. She's right on the money. She was right on the money with so many things.
She is. You know, I have a friend. He's wonderful. And he says, when we can change our consciousness from me to we, it'll make a huge difference.
Absolutely.
How simple is that? Simple and wise at the same time.
That's all it is. You just remember the oneness. Remember that you're connected. Like she said, if there's the real internet is not on the computer.
Yeah, I like that. That's what I love, the way she said that, because it's so true. The real internet is within us, and I've heard it said a number of years ago that when it comes to the human brain, we're actually more capable, if we were to utilize our entire brain, of more than what computers do.
Oh, absolutely.
And when she says we can move into other dimensions, and really you can communicate on those other dimensions with each other, we can actually be telepathic, we can actually do all these things, and we know that because of our psychic gifts. But when people really accept that that is a reality, and not only a possibility, but a very definite reality up and coming for them, a lot of people say, well, I don't know if I can do that. But yeah, you can. Everybody can, because everybody's born with a brain, and that's just part of your brain working.
Yeah, and I agree. And Delora, you know, when the clients ask the question, well, how is it that you're able to read people psychically, and how is it that mediums can connect with the spirit world? I always say, because we're one thing. We're all part of one thing. And so you were talking before about, you know, being responsible towards other people. If you hurt somebody else, you hurt yourself.
That's right.
That, you know, Carmen mentioned karma. You know, we're able to read each other psychically because we're all connected, and we're able to do a huge amount of good, but we're always also able to do a lot of harm. So I'll talk about being responsible about resources and the planet extends absolutely to being responsible about what we do with our energy, because what we do energetically has a big impact. You know, I think at one point on one show we talked about lower entities and, you know, bad spirits and things like that, and we talked about the fact that they're often manifestations of our collective negativity and bad energy. And just as we care for the planet and we try to be more responsible about resources, we've got to start thinking the same way when it comes to our energy and our thoughts. And because our thoughts literally shoot out there around the world and the universe and have an impact.
Oh, they
right.
do. And you know what I love? She said, you know, when you die, you don't take any of your material things with you, but you take
yes.
your soul with you. You take your karma. So it makes you think. And again, it comes back to, you know, where am I putting my love? Where am I putting my energy in this life? Am I focusing only on building some kind of a monument to myself made out of cash and stocks? No, I want to build it out of love and memories and good things I've done for other people. That's what you take with you. That's the treasure. That's the real
yeah.
wealth that you accumulate.
You know, we're really getting to the point where we have to change our value system. You're absolutely right. One of the things, we have to take a commercial break, but we're going to be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Psychic Access Talk Radio.com, The Psychic View. And I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. If you haven't already heard, we'll continue to present our 4-part series on 2012 Exposed. Please be sure to join us on October 21st and 28th as Steve and Rita present our last two shows of our 2012 Exposed series. Next week, Steve is going to cover 2012 and into the future. It's going to be an incredible show. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site for anything psychic you would like to learn about. Learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. It's excellent. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them, and you can choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website to work for because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working for Doug, our producer, and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a very credible and reputable psychic site. It's a no-scam zone. It has high standards. It has integrity. And so my reputation is safe. And the psychics who join us there are absolutely wonderful people. All of us are very different with our own unique gifts. You'll also find all the co-hosts here on The Psychic View working on Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We would love to see you there. We'd love to hear you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to PsychicAccess.com. So if you'd like more information on that, please be sure to visit http://PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. With that, I'm going to let you know about our call-in number for readings that are coming up in about 3 minutes. So please be sure to have pen and paper in hand. Call in. Our number is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851 for a free reading from any and all of us. Sometimes you get all four of us. Sometimes you get one of us. Sometimes you get two. Sometimes you get three. But you're going to get a huge perspective because all of us will be tuning in. Please note that you will be, it's a first-come, first-served basis. So you can listen to the show while you're waiting. And once you're on, you can go ahead and speak. Okay, nobody will actually be talking to you when you call in. So just remember, you're going to be on hold until you're on, and then we will address you, and you can go ahead and ask your question. Again, that's 724-444-4851. You know what I wanted to ask you, Steve? You had mentioned something about the significance of the Pythagorean triangle in numerology. And I was very interested in that. Can you give us some information on that?
Absolutely. And Carmen referred to Pythagoras.
Yes.
You know, we often think of Pythagoras as a mathematician, which he absolutely was. But first and foremost, he was a mystic and a seer. And he believed very much in divination. And so the Pythagorean triangle is often used in numerology because Carmen talked about numbers 1 through 9 and then the master numbers. And we can calculate our life lesson or our life purpose through our date of birth. But numerology goes to so much detail because you can take the vowels in your name to calculate your soul number. You can look at path of destiny, outer personality, all kinds of things. But if you plot your life around the Pythagorean triangle, you can actually look at all different points of your life. There's a fantastic book called The Divine Triangle by Dusty Bunker and Faith Gervain, and that book talks a lot about the divine power of numbers, and also shows how to actually look at the different themes and energies at different points in life, but it all goes back to Pythagoras.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. We have someone from Texas on the line. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What is your name? Or you can use a username. You don't have to give your real name. But how would we address you?
Casey's fine.
Pardon?
Casey is fine.
Okay, thank you. What is your question?
My question is, what do you see as far as how I will make my income now that I just lost my job?
How you're going to make your income?
Yes.
Are you making an effort to look for another job at the moment?
Yes, as well as trying to start a business, too.
Okay. So are you asking about your business, or are you specifically... okay. What we'll do, Maureen, would you like to take it from here? And
sure.
Do you have anything for?
Yeah, I do get something. And is this is that from our chat room in there?
Stacy?
I think it is. Anyway, okay. She mentioned she was going to call and she was a little shy. Yes, I did. You know what I get is, I do feel that you're talking about a business. I see a woman around you that is very, that will, anything you do with this woman is going to be very successful. I see you and somebody else. She has a lot of ideas. She looks like a motherly, she's very motherly, but she's also a woman of business, corporate, and she, whatever she puts her mind to, she will, it becomes a success. Also, she may have had an easy time, which she might have children and so forth. So forth. I'm really funny tonight, aren't I? I can't even I'm so quiet, but then it comes up. And I do see a short trip around you as well. And I feel things are going to, actually, I feel the timing is very well. Unfortunately, you lost your job, and I'm sorry to hear that, but I think that there's some really good opportunity coming your way. And now, there you have it.
Thank you, Maureen. How about you, Steve? Did you feel anything?
I do, yes. I was excited when you said that you're looking for a job and also wanting to start your own business, because my guides are saying that you're a gifted multitasker, and the solution doesn't come from pursuing one avenue. It's by combining a number of things. I do get that you're an absolute animal lover. Are you a big animal lover?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's a huge connection to animals, and I'm seeing dogs, cats, and horses as well. Are you fond of horses?
Yes.
Okay. My guides are saying that you'll do a number of things. You will take another role to make sure that you've got steady income coming in, but you won't do that role for long. It feels like about 14, 15 months, and you'll by that time you'll really have your business up and running and things will be taking off. But there's a very strong connection with animals, and I would not be at all surprised if your business involved animals, and notably horses.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
We have another caller from New York. Hello. Hello? New York?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm from England.
Oh, you're from England. Hello? Okay, sorry about that. It's across the ocean. I apologize. Welcome to the show. What is your question?
I just want to know if I'm going to ever get rid of pain. I mean, I have 24/7 pain with my hip. And I was just wondering if you could probably give me the answer that I'm looking for. Will I ever get a hip replacement?
Okay. So the question is, will she ever get hip replacements?
I got a resounding yes right away.
I did as well.
Yeah, it was a yes, yes, yes. And there's a feeling that there is a benefactor of some sort, someone who will come and actually help you to make sure that you get this surgery done. So yes, you are going to get the hip replacement.
Excellent.
Well, I've been told by loads of doctors that because of my age, it has to be under investigation. And apparently, I will probably be entered the Guinness Book of Records for being the youngest hip replacement surgery.
Oh, wow.
I think someone's going to help you through that. Like, if there's any kind of a struggle or a battle in getting this done, someone is going to come and assist you in making sure that the way is smoothed out before you. You do have a lot of help around you that's coming specifically to help you through any difficulty you might have in getting the surgery done.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
I can't stand this pain. I'm getting fed up with pills, pumping them all the time, one pill after another, So, thank you very much, and God bless you.
Did you have something to say, Steve?
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to... Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. Good. You're up very late.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 4 a.m.? It's 2 a.m.?
It's
2:27. 2:27, wow.
Wow.
Well, my guides are asking about where you live. Do you live near to the a county boundary? My guides are saying you live near to a border.
I live in Berkshire.
Okay, but do you live near the border of Berkshire?
Yeah, leading to Buckinghamshire, and there's also, on my second right, is Oxfordshire.
Okay, because my guides are saying that you live near to the border of the county that you reside in. I get a resounding yes that you will have your hip replacement. I get the month of May as being very significant for you. But there is, you are a record breaker, and do you remember the program on TV? I'm not sure, I don't know if it existed in the States, but do you remember that program at the beginning in Britain? It would say, Record Breakers?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? Well, there's a show I remember when I was a kid, and you are a record breaker, and you will absolutely set the precedent around your right to this operation. Mm-hmm. My guides are saying you need to be a bit firmer. There is some kind of legal issue, and you need to really push harder to set the precedent and get more PR. But there is some kind of opportunity to compare the approach that would be taken in the counties that surround Berkshire, because the approach or the response would not be the same. It would sort of differ. The rules differ, and you really should consider looking at that. But I do get a fantastic lady in her mid-40s and with darker hair offering you advice and some legal support. I think it will absolutely go your way. And I see that my guides are showing me the showing me the press, and they're showing me an article with you featured, and I think that you really must fight this battle with the medical authorities of the hospital, because many other people will benefit from your breakthrough.
And if I could just mention too, to call on Archangel Raphael, he's the Archangel of Healing. I'm asking him to go to you to help relieve some of the pain right now. But if you just want to call on him when you're feeling the most pain and ask for some relief, you'll start to feel some relief there around your hip.
I've actually heard that he's my guardian angel, and I also have Morgana, who's my spirit guide, who's a crow.
Okay.
So I don't know what that's to do with me getting this new hit, but there we go. But I do hope that I get it. You know, because it's driving me nuts. So it's cutting me off from the rest of, you know, the rest of my life. I mean, I'm 30 years old. You know, I shouldn't be suffering like this. I should be suffering this when I'm older. You know what I mean?
You shouldn't. Right. You must. You know, you must be firmer. You must be very firm. Mm-hmm. As you've said, you don't hope. And ensure that you get what you're entitled to. As you said, you're 30 years old, and go for it.
Yeah, make a decision. Make a decision to do it, and it'll be. There's no I hope, it's do it. You know what I mean?
Yep. You have support, and you can do it.
Okay, thank you very much, and God bless you.
God bless you as well.
Many blessings to you.
And we have a call from Hawaii. Hello?
Well, aloha again, my friends.
Aloha. Is this Michael?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Michael.
I'm calling in. Hello, everybody. Lovely, lovely show today. Mm-hmm. I am calling in. I have a question. I feel directed to ask it I think it's Steve. But anybody
Steve?
Can answer it. I had a nightmare a couple nights ago. It was a warning, a vision, whatever. It was really, really intense. And I haven't had one like that in ages. I mean, a long, long time. And it really shook me when I woke up. I mean, I just felt dreadful the whole rest of the night.
So what is your question about it, Michael?
Is anybody picking up anything about it, or?
You mean the meaning of it, or?
Do you want me to explain it to you? It's real simple. Basically, it was weird. It was like I was at church, and I had in a building somewhere, and I had other friends around from church, and these two big blokes, these guys showed up. And they were totally evil. And it was like I couldn't do anything to stop them physically at all. And it was just a weird dream, but it affected me so much.
Okay. Is anybody getting anything on that?
It's so real.
Yeah,
it was so real.
I do. You know, lots of things happen when we sleep, and we go through many different energies when we sleep. I wanted to ask you, what time of night was it? Was it earlier in the night? Was it around 1 or 2 a.m.?
No, it was late. Yes, around that time, my time.
Okay, now I'm not an expert on sleep, but my guides were pointing to that time. Now, my guides come through very clearly to me much later in the night, so it's generally around 4:35, and my guides are saying what you're experiencing early in your sleep cycle is more about you and your fears than anything else. So I feel very comfortable saying to you, Michael, that what you've experienced is it's almost like you're raising your energy and you're facing some of your inner fears. And my guides say that what you experienced was more a manifestation of some of your fears than anything sinister. I don't feel as though, you know, you were connecting with spirit at that point in your sleep cycle.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Michael? Do you have some kind of fear about... I feel as though it's almost as though there's a fear of being out in public and really being out there. Does that make sense to you?
It's more. I don't know. I guess that day I was in a bad mood, and I had gotten in a I got an argument with a friend of mine. We're still friends, but we got in an argument, and so I was already kind of in a upset mood already that day, and that night is when I had the experience, that nightmare, that was really, I mean, it just really shook me up.
Yeah, well, my guides are saying, Michael, you don't have anything to fear. There's nothing bad around you. Just consider how the dream and the sort of shock of the dream might actually be a fear that you want to face up to and change. And in some way, it feels like a fear of being in the crowd or being right out there.
Mm-hmm.
So have a think about that, because that's what I'm sensing.
I love crowds, really.
You do?
I love crowds. I love being around people.
But are you around people at the moment, Michael? Are you more, because I feel as though you're more secluded at the moment, and there's almost a need to be out.
I'm actually involved in church.
Okay.
So I'm at church at least 3 times a week.
If I could say, I'm getting the feeling that there is a there's like a deep rooted kind of sense of obligation, but it's wrapped up in some like a guilt kind of a feeling, like out of an obligation, and there's a desire within you not to annoy other people by really authentically being who you are. So I think where Steve was saying this, like a fear of being out there, it's more not that you're antisocial. It's that you are you're doing certain things in your life to please others and not yourself. You're not really presenting yourself as your authentic self. So there's a little bit of a piece inside of you that's holding on to this as like an anchor. It's kind of anchoring you in this, what would you call it, contempt? Like contempt, a little bit of contempt there for people in your life that you feel you have to be a different person to make them happy. And so you're doing what you think you should be doing to please other people, but in reality, it's harboring itself as contempt deep inside of you. So I think you said the church was in your dream, right? Was the church in your dream?
I was at the church, but I was in a building with people from church.
Okay, so it might be connected somehow in that aspect of your life. So I would just recommend that you look at that aspect of your life and ask yourself, am I doing things to please others or am I doing them to please me? And you may find, if you really just reflect on that thought for a moment, that maybe there's some incongruous feelings within you that need to be sorted out. That's what I get. I get sort of like the little bit of this, like just a little confusion and tightness in your heart area. So it could be something like that. Does that help at all?
I just want to mention one last thing.
I do. I also, that Hello? Is actually, I'm getting something along similar lines. One of the things I get with you, Michael, is confidence. Confidence is really important for you to cultivate in a balanced way. And when Rita speaks about incongruous feelings, what I get is that it's really important for you to get in the habit of, throughout the day or at the end of the day, go through the events of the day. It doesn't have to be anything hard. Just pick what stands out to you, or if a person stood out to you, or whatever it is, something somebody said, and think about that. You know, be in a place like be on your bed or whatever, just someplace where you're relaxed. And you don't have to go into meditation, but just when that, when you bring up that event or that person, ask yourself how you feel. The word is feel. How you feel about that event, that person, or whatever. And your your body will actually react to that. And those are your true feelings. Because I kind of get so used to pleasing people that you're not, you may actually not even realize till much later, you know, or after the fact, you know, what your true feelings are. And so it's really important to start practicing to get in touch with your own feelings and to be congruent with those feelings, to behave according to those feelings. And if you're not liking somebody, it doesn't mean you have to be rude. It means you don't have to have anything to do with them. You just walk away. And so I'm getting that it's really important for you to do that, and you'll start coming into your own more, because that's a matter of personal integrity. That's coming into your integrity. Okay, I do want to mention the call-in number again. It's 724-444-4851. 724-444-4851. The lines are open. Please do call. We'd be happy to speak with you. Michael, thank you so much. And we look forward to having you here next week.
Yep.
We do have a caller from California. I believe we have two, so we'll take the first caller. Caller from California, how are you?
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. You're coming through nice and clear. You have a question for us?
Yes, thank you. I'm actually calling from South Carolina, but my number is from California because that's where I used to live before, and I don't give it up.
Oh, okay. Good
but,
for you.
Yes, but I do have a question, and it's regarding my career. Right now I'm at a point where I don't have a career, but just wanted to see if you're seeing something for my future related to that.
Okay, and do you mind giving us your name so that we can...
Isabella.
We might...
Isabella.
Pardon?
It's Isabella.
Isabella. Oh, that's very pretty. Somebody very close to me named Isabella. Thank you.
Great.
Maureen, do you have anything for Isabella?
Yeah. I love that name, too. In fact, Isabella is my one of my favorite names. I was almost naming
It's beautiful.
Daughter.
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful.
Hi, Isabella. Yes, I...
Hello.
I do get it. You've been through a lot of intense... you've been through a journey, oh boy, about your inner self, which I just wanted to bring up because it looks like it's not a physical death, but like a spiritual type of a death, which you then get to come back up alive. And this is a really good time for you because I do see you heading towards a point of completion. But with every completion or ending, there's a new beginning. It's like this is a... I don't know what you have in mind or anything like that, but I see you outside. There's a lot of green or there's flowers around you. And I see you very successful in anything that you might... a project you take on. But I do feel that you do well outside, but I see you being able to be outside, and there's birds. It's just wonderful, like working outside a little bit. I know in South Carolina it can get cold, but it doesn't matter. I really do see in the next 9 months, excuse me, I do see you doing, you're not a kept woman, that's for sure. You're very independent. And whatever it is, it's very, you're connected to it very well. But it's just out, there's a lot of green growing and everything outside. And that's what I get, yes.
I keep seeing her stacking folders. I don't know what that means, but like putting stacks of folders in order, almost like quite possibly, I don't know, maybe like a temp job, a fill-in kind of a thing, because I too get the sense of an outdoor kind of a spirit or feeling here. So why they're showing me someone stacking folders, which to me in my mind translates to an office job, I don't know. But it could be something related to getting yourself organized in a way that would allow you to really pretty much do your own business, have some kind of business of your own, an entrepreneurial venture of some sort where you are going to have to both do the work and run the business at the same time. So have you had considerations?
I used to work in real estate back when I was in California, and I'm planning to do it, hopefully, if I return to California. Do you see that being in the future, me returning to California?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, the word yes popped up on my screen in my head. So, yeah. Did you guys get yes as well?
Yeah, because I see her outside, the warmer air. You know, that's what I was saying, if that was the case. Because I see you outside doing... and yes, I do. I see you around warmer. I live in California, so I know it's kind of weird here, too, sometimes. But yes, I do, absolutely. And it's almost like a full circle completion about that, too, coming back.
Wow, okay.
It's positive, I feel.
That's very good news.
Yeah, you're going to do well, actually. You're going to do very well because you're going to, it's almost like a renewed sense of a purpose here. Like Maureen said, you're coming full circle now. So when you leave something and come back to it again, you come back wiser and with more confidence. And this is how you are going to approach this job. It's going to be more like, all right, I've learned what I needed to learn. Now I'm going to really kick butt. So that's why I think they're showing me this very determined person who is very organized and, you know, ready to get down to business, ready to take charge, ready to make it your own. So you will do very well when you return to this position.
Yeah, that's how I feel. That's how I feel like it's going to happen. So you think real estate is still something for me, or you think I should move towards higher goals?
I think whatever you decide to put your mind to, you're going to do well at. I mean, I'm just getting an overall sense of like superior confidence, a determination that's unmatched, a real winning attitude, like nothing's going to stop you. And that's the vision I get for you now, if it's in real estate or some other venture, but it is going to be connected with documents, folders, files, and that kinds of thing, which I know real estate is a lot of paperwork, so maybe that is it, you know. Unless if you've considered a career change into something else, whatever you do, you're going to be very, very good at it because you have a different sense about yourself. You have a whole new confidence, and you're going to do great. I can see it right now. You're going to have a great, great rebound here.
So like Dr. Hara said, number four is power and money, right?
That's right. Stability. That's right. And you can go back and listen. You can go back and listen to that in the archives, and that'll just reaffirm.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right.
Actually, we have Isabella. Steve has something for you, too.
Oh, okay, great. Steve,
hi, Isabella. Hello. Isabella, I absolutely concur with what's been said. I do want to give you something that my guides are talking about. I get the feeling you may be quite surprised, but my guides are talking about the number four and stability, but also talking about freedom. And they're saying that once you cater for yourself, so in effect, once you get into a role, a career that works for you, and you're comfortable and stable in life, then you will do similar work for other people. And I see a very strong connection to children in Latin America. I do see you going back to California, but I want to give you Florida as well. Have you got a connection with Florida already?
No, not yet. I mean, I've been there to Miami to visit, but that's it.
Okay. Well, remember Florida, because I see a strong connection with Florida. It's almost as though there's a connection with Florida and then it goes back to California. But my guides draw a big thick line to Latin America and talk a lot about children and helping children have stability and freedom. So I feel very strongly that in the longer term, you will do quite a lot of important work for children in Latin America. And my guides are saying as well that some of the paperwork is paperwork. It's almost as though you will look at files of particular cases of specific children. So some of the paperwork, some of the files will also be about children and their history and what you might do to help. I feel that connection very strongly because you have very high energy and a great capability to make a very big difference in the world.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I travel quite a bit, and I've been to Costa Rica a few times, so you never know.
Wonderful. I want to give you the name Maya or Mia as well for the future. It looks like M-I-A. I want you to remember that name. It's a little girl's name.
Okay.
Okay. And I wish you lots of luck.
Best of luck, Isabella.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. Thank you very much, all. Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night. And our call-in number is 724-444-4851. Please feel free to call in.
I'm tweeting it. See if we can get somebody.
All right. In the meantime, we can have Maureen cover a bit about the long count system of measuring time and a foundation on the number 20. Would you like to talk to us about that, Maureen?
No. Yes.
Okay.
I've been very quiet.
You answered my question. That answers my question, doesn't it?
No, I do. I can talk. Yes, I am able to. It's so funny. Everybody, I'm sorry for me. It's all planned.
It's okay. A good sense of humor is an important thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Well, you know, I wanted to say, first of all, that the mind calendar was... It contains both components of astrology and numerology. Okay, we kind of got that. But one whole day. Okay, so one whole day in the Mayan calendar was called a kin, K-I-N. And many ancient civilizations in Africa and the Far East developed calendars based on a 20-unit mathematical system. And coincidentally, so did the Mayan civilization. So. In essence, the long calendar system nested cycles of days based on the number 20. So every unit of time in the calendar, it's kind of confusing, but every unit of time in the calendar was based somehow out of that unit, of the unit of 20, which came to the day. Yeah, it's very interesting. So 20 days was called a uninal, something, you know, how am I, I'm from Atlanta. 7,200 days was called a cantoon, and 144,000 days was called a cantoon. So the Mayan year consisted of 360 days, and that was called a tun. T-U-N. This calendar of theirs was a little shorter than ours, as I was trying to say earlier, in terms of the year length, because it only had 360 days. So, excuse me, I'm got all choked up on that one. So, those 360 days were in turn divided into units of 20 days. Now, see, like we have 30 days usually, but sometimes you know how we have 31 days or to 28 days. So it sounds to me, this thing I was reading about, I was trying to grasp hold of it. It's kind of interesting, but I'm trying to figure out how we did. So the reason that the ancient Mayan year was a little bit shorter than our current, it was 365 days. It was based on the astral cycles of Venus. Very interesting. So the ancient Mayans knew that whenever this shining celestial body was close to the Earth, that it seemed to bring good times. And so this is very interesting because, of course, today, as you know, we all would note that this knowing the planet Venus is associated in astrology with love and blessing. So the planet Venus also had cycles that are equivalent in the link to the number 20. Now, I still have a hard time with understanding this, but maybe some of you smarter ones. However, so in essence, so they talk about the countdown and everything, but still it goes right back into what I was saying earlier, August 13th, and then you get to that 11-11. But yes. They were mathematical geniuses. But that's why, you know, it talks about 2012 December, you know, December, the solstice, winter solstice, it's going to be.
Yes.
Actually, it's not. It's August. It's August 13th.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying earlier, and it's at 11:11 a.m. General Mountain.
Oh, wow.
So that's when, because that's when the Milky Way was everything. But if you look up some of this, people have it a little wrong. And everything I looked up about that, it says the same thing about the August 13th, 2011 at 11:11 a.m. So
that is very interesting. Thanks for bringing us that perspective.
I hope we all understood it.
Well, it'll certainly give us food for thought, even if we didn't, right? Yeah. We can always look it up.
Class mathematics immediately.
Oh, you're fantastic, Maureen. You bring such humor to the show. Yeah, and very interesting points as well. Yes. I just can't wait to learn more and more about Mayan prophecies and the Mayan people. It's just such a fascinating subject.
It's a whole field. It's amazing. We do have a caller from New Jersey, and I'd like to welcome that caller in. Hi, how are you?
Hi, my name is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm very good. I love listening to what's going on.
Excellent.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Hey, what Jeannie.
I kind of got you breaking in and out, so I'm not sure what's happening.
That's all right. If you have a question for us, go right ahead and feel free to ask.
Well, of course, I'm like a lot of other people, and I'm very interested in this shift that I now hear is happening in August, not December. So it's going to be very hard to plan a party. But
I'd like her.
You have to cover both dates now, August and December.
I was going to say have two.
Oh, no, two parties. What am I going to do? But as a light worker, I have been told that things will be changing for us, that we will no longer have to really hide in the closet anymore, that we will be coming to the forefront. Do you have any thoughts on that and how I could do that easily since I'm a spirit who really doesn't like change?
Oh, very interesting. Mm. Well, the first thing I get, Jeannie, is what I got from spirit I'm going to say in the recent months, is that our work as light workers, is something that people are going to seek out. So it's going to be an evolution, more or less. And the reason why it's being sought out is, this is what spirit told me, is because of the chaos that's going on, because of the change in the economy, because of the change in people's personal lives, you know, even down to foreclosures and all that's going on for people politically, everything. Everything is affecting our personal lives to the point to where many people are going to start searching themselves. Because when it comes down to it, when times are hard, that's when we actually do more of our internal work, our personal transformation. We go searching from within. When times are easy, we don't bother. There's no need for it. But because of the sign of the times, because of the situation that we're all going through globally, people are soul searching. And more will be soul searching. So more and more services on a light worker level are going to be needed, such as the kind of stuff we do, Vision Quest, all kinds of different ways that will be offered for that. So there'll be a natural evolution into it, and that is the answer I got from Spirit. Is there anybody else who might have gotten anything?
Well, Laura, I wanted to chip in because I got a very similar message to you. And firstly, Jeannie, when you came on, I just thought, when I heard your name, my guides were saying magical, magic. You have such a magical energy. You have a very uplifting, inspiring energy. And my guides are talking about healing and giving readings, giving intuitive counseling, psychic insight to people who are very strongly connected with spirit. There's writing with you as well. And my insight for you, or I should say the insight from my guides, is along the same lines as Alora's, and that is that you will be very successful in this field and very much in demand. And I see you being very well known as well. So huge success for you, and huge reward energetically and financially, materially. You're really going to do so well and get everything that you deserve. I see also you are talking to teenagers, and talking to teenagers about spirituality, integrity, responsibility, etc. And also get boys around you. Do you have a son, or more than one son? Because I see boys around you.
I have a son. I am married to a man who is one of 9 boys,
wow.
And I had all brothers.
Okay, yeah, because I was getting a lot of boys around you.
Yeah.
So, but you have a really balancing energy. So you really are someone that can be, you can be in a room of 30 men and you really somehow balance the energy out. So you've got wonderful, wonderful energy and capability. Wish you all the luck in the world.
You know, Steve, you just pegged, I know Jeannie, and she is one of the most incredible people and healers you ever wanted to meet. It's just funny that I was trying to just sit here and listen, and oh my God, I'm laughing because you pegged her so perfectly. And Jeannie, I'm saying you got it. You know, the thing that I used to pick up about Jeannie was undervaluing what she does because it's so valuable. And we've had that discussion before, right, Jeannie? About
yes, we have.
You know, don't put yourself on sale. You are incredible, incredible.
And you know
yeah,
what,
that's really-
Jeannie.
Sorry, Laura, go ahead.
No, that's okay. She had asked, how can I do this? Because I'm not really, I don't like change. It's mm-hmm. inevitable, Jeannie. If that's what you want to do, then you're asking for that change. And you can do it slowly. You can do it part-time. You can do it, you know, whenever you want. You can do one a week. You can do however you want to be comfortable with the change. It's all up to you.
Well, you know, I do understand, and I am ready for the change. So I just know, being a 53-year-old woman, that I, like everybody else, like to stay in that comfortable chair rather than stepping up. And well, I have been stepping up, as Rita and Ann will tell you. And I'm ready. I just know that, knowing me, because I've known me for many, many years, that there's that, like, oh, really? Do I have to get out of this comfy chair?
Yes, you do. But yes. You're going to love it because it's what you're asking for and it's what you want. And with that, I have one more question. Thank you so much, Jeannie, for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Have a lovely evening.
You too. God bless.
God bless, Jeannie.
Bye.
We have one. We have one more question from Julie. Julie's in our chat room, and what she asks is, Ian, my husband is thinking about helping or partnering in a business with a new person. Do you feel this will be a good experience for him?
Okay. Maureen, are you? Do you want to read, Maureen?
No, you go on. I'm fine.
Okay, sorry. I just didn't want to butt in.
I get
a simple answer. My guy just saying if the opportunity is to partner with a male in business, then it's a good and exciting opportunity. It feels very good to me, and I think that all my guides are saying that it will really boost your husband's energy because he really feels the need to really go for his dream and be successful and prove himself. And I feel that he will be successful.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve.
And
that brings
I
us...
want to say one more, wait, one more thing.
Oh,
I do
I'm
want
sorry.
To say this man, he wants partnering, looks like he has backing, financial backing. And I think it may be a little hard on you and your husband at first, but I think all in all, it will be very positive. That's all.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. This brings us to the end of yet another exciting show, and I wish to thank my co-hosts and our executive producer, Doug, for all that they offer, their support, their wonderful insights, and I really appreciate it. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. So, Steve, can you tell us what we can look forward to?
Absolutely. Well, we'll be focusing still upon 2012, but particularly the issues, the energies and opportunities of 2012 and what that means for us in the much longer term. So Carmen talked a little about the banking system and et cetera today, and we'll be going really far into the future and thinking about how certain things that may seem impossible today will become very, very possible and very commonplace. So we'll have Anaya Barrera as a guest, and I know that it'll be a really exciting show because he has so much wisdom and knowledge to share with us.
Thank you, Steve. I know Anaya personally. He's wonderful. He's just amazing. So please do join us because it will be a very exciting show. With that, I'm going to thank you all for being with us tonight. I look forward to having you with us again next week. God bless to everyone, and have a great week.